Joining us right now over the phone, we have Emory High School soccer coach Troy Winter. Coach, it's great to get you back on to recap the season. I always appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. Me too.
Yeah, it's always fun, Coach. I know the season it ended in a competitive fashion, a 3-2 loss to JUAB, and now that it's all complete and you take a look at how far JUAB actually went, I mean, they were definitely a game opponent. They get all the way to the semifinals in the 3A state tournament. Coach, I think the final score is kind of an indication of just how much better this team got throughout the year, speaking of Emory, but I don't believe it's the outcome that you guys wanted, in a sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, losing 3-2 is always tough, you know, very difficult. You know, we lost to JUAB, you know, three times, unfortunately, this year, you know, and that's not exactly what we want to see as well, too. But, you know, we did get better over the year. They obviously got better, so we had to raise our game, and our game got better, and I was satisfied with that, you know, as much as you can be satisfied with ending the season on a loss. You know, I'm happy with it, you know, how we played. So,
yeah, I mean, if you just look at some of the other scores, I mean, you see Delta, 9 seed, they get blank 6-0, and that's a team that we're familiar with. North Sam Peak gets blank 6-0. I mean, you're seeing a lot of the upper seeds in the state tournament really dominate on that side of the bracket. That was not the case. In fact, that was one of the more compelling games of that second round.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was, for sure. And that, and I think that says, you know, a lot for, you know, where our team, you know, where we finished out, to be honest with you. I'm very proud of them for that.
Coach, during this game, and you and I talked about the approach and why you like the matchup and what you guys had to do, a fight to the bitter end, but at what point in time do you start grasping for straws, knowing we either have to jump ahead or we're going home? I mean, I'm sure that's kind of a vague question, but in the course of a winner-go-home game, you're trailing pretty much throughout. At what point in time do you have to start taking risks, and do you start telling the boys, look, it's almost desperation time?
You know, I think it was probably about 15 minutes left into the game, 12 minutes left into the game. We made a couple of adjustments to start pushing some offense forward. You know, we was worried about hurting us, you know, because of them countering and not having the players back. But we just took that chance and took that opportunity. And we had them on their heels for that last 15 minutes. They played defense. And they played defense very well. They cleared the ball every chance they got. And it was, you know, long distance clears. Their game plan changed as well, too. Their control changed. You know, they was just, because we was just nonstop. The boys knew it was, you know, it was do or die, and they went out there and they give 110%. And you know, it was a tough loss, but satisfying in the aspect of knowing that they give 100% at the end of the game.
There's no question that being the upper seed and getting home field advantage is going to play a factor, right? Especially in the state tournament. And as you and I were talking a bit off of the cuff, that kind of aided JUAB in jumping out to that quick 3-0 lead.
Absolutely. Their field's a little bit unique in its size and, you know, grass and, you know, and everything, and there's something they're a little bit more comfortable with. You know, home field advantage obviously always makes it, you know, makes a difference and stuff. And in years past for us as well, too, that's made a difference. Our turf field is awesome. You know, I think it would have made a difference this year as well, too, if we would have been the upper seed, you know, in that situation. We generally play better on our own field. Obviously, we're more used to it, you know, the movement and, you know, being able to control, you know, a couple different elements, you know, in the game and stuff. So, but yeah, having home field advantage is always what you want, and that you know, is attributed to, you know, finishing them games in the season like you should. We let a couple get by us that we should have won. But that's, you know, that's just the way it is.
You also had mentioned, Coach, some of the underclassmen that you guys had to really rely on at the varsity level. I mean, you have some really young kids out there, and hey, you know, it's a process. I think that's the case in any sport, right? So here you are going up against a school in JUAB. We know they have phenomenal athletes. They have a phenomenal athletics department, and you got some freshmen out there that have to try to produce at the varsity level. The learning experience has got to be off the charts.
Absolutely, you know, and I'm very, very proud of some of our underclassmen. We had a couple of freshmen that played, sophomores that played. Very, very proud of them. You know, high tense moments. You know, our goalie, Chad Sorensen, he is a freshman, first-year player, never played soccer in his life. Just a big kid, good hands, and he gave it a go, and he you know, it was a learning curve. And, you know, we had other freshmen out there as well, too, that were, you know, were playing and stuff, and some sophomores. And, yeah, underclassmen, you know, sure helped us out, you know, but obviously that experience, you know, is always a good thing to have as well, too, you know, so.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Troy Winter, again, of the Emory High School soccer team. Coach, we'll go back and talk about some individuals on this year's team. I think the best place to start would be Carson Childs. He was outstanding for you guys, no question. Leads the team in goals throughout the season.
Absolutely. Yep. Carson's, fortunately, he's been a young man that I've been able to coach for a lot of years. He's the same age as my boy, Rhett, and we've been doing club soccer for a lot of years, probably since they were 5 or 6 years old, so I know the boy well. Very, very proud of him, and he played well, you know, throughout the season. You know, it's extremely hard, you know, to play consistently day in and day out when you play a lot of club soccer, and you don't have as many players on your team that play club soccer. He stuck in there. He scored goals for us. You know, a very, very good soccer player. He's somebody that you know, that has a desire to play at the next level, and he'll be able to play at the next level for sure.
And you mentioned Rhett, but again, someone that just came through for you time and time again.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, we had, you know, Rhett, it, you know, he's done a great job. Always in the right place at the right time, has a cool, calm, collective demeanor. He done a really good job, you know, there in the middle and everything, kind of controlling the middle and the outlet of that. We had Landon Wagner that, you know, played our defensive middle. He done a great job. His last four games of the year, you know, the last two games specifically, were just lights out games for him. You know, he played very, very well, you know, and stuff as well. So, and we had Mason Stewart in the middle as well that played good. And we had several seniors that come off the bench, you know, in rotations, you know, with our underclassmen and stuff that helped us out there as well, too. So, you know, there my you know, a shout out to, you know, to all my seniors. This is the last year that, you know, that they're traveling soccer and high school soccer, and they performed at a high level, and I'm extremely proud of them.
Coach, it did also come out that the soccer team had a representative in the academic all-state nod as well with Chase Huggard. He was a member of that squad, and I think that's always important, right? These kids, they perform in the classroom. It's just as difficult to perform in the classroom as it is out on the playing field.
Absolutely. And I apologize. I should have mentioned Chase. He played out on the wing. He had to move a couple different positions. His skill set is very unique. But he gives me 110%, you know, on the field all the time, and obviously off the field, you know, being an academic all-state, you know, I mean, in my opinion, that's the highest accolade any athlete can get. You know, anything else doesn't matter. It's academically what you achieve in the classroom, being able to, you know, be involved in your community, making sure that you get the grades that are necessary to be there, and you play a sport. And he's not just a soccer player. He's a multi-sport athlete, you know, and a lot of things that he does as well, too. So he's a young man that I look up to very much, absolutely.
If we jump ahead, Coach, and move on from the senior class, but look at those freshmen that got time, you look at those underclassmen, the sophomores, the juniors, what does the future hold for this program?
You know, it's I'm actually very optimistic about it. We've got a lot of raw talent, kids that maybe play a little bit of club ball, but not as many as we've had in years past, but a lot of raw talent, kids that I'm really excited for, kids that have a very strong heart and a desire, you know, to come out and play. They're good athletes, you know, and so I'm actually looking really forward to it this next year. We've got some, you know, upcoming, you know, freshmen that will be coming in that are going to be, you know, expected to carry a load as well, too. You know, and so I'm very optimistic. You know, it next year is going to be a little bit different because we did lose quite a few seniors, but I'm optimistic with what we've got coming in because of their heart and their desire to go out and be competitive and, you know, and try to do their very best.
I know the summer months are so busy. These kids get done with school and then they want a break, but they don't get too much of a break if they play other sports, basketball, football, baseball, whatever it may be. I mean, it seems like these kids, they're on a year-round schedule. What does it look like for soccer, Coach, as we head into the summer months?
You know, so that's what we do. We, as soon as the season's over, we, you know, take a couple months off and stuff, and we'll actually get together, you know, having the facility that we have here, we'll be able to get together and have, you know, a couple game or a couple of just limited practices, you know, training sessions, you know, with the ones that are not playing sports and with the ones that are playing other sports, you know, playing football, playing basketball, you know, doing that stuff. You know, we'll work around their schedule and stuff. But we do have club soccer going on Just like every sport, you know, if you want to, you know, excel or succeed, you know, you got to be playing year round. We do have a few that will be doing that. We combine our program with the carbon program and voltage, and we've got several players that will be, you know, doing that again this year. And so, and then we'll just, you know, just be a little bit meticulous with our time and make sure that their time is, you know, well spent, you know, in our facilities over here.
Coach, it's always so much fun to get updates from you and to follow the boys throughout the season. I really appreciate you always making time to join us here on the show. I always appreciate the conversations. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it as well, Jordan, as well, too. It's awesome to have, you know, some exposure for these guys. Like I said, these boys work hard, and I'm extremely proud of them, and, you know, from our seniors to our freshmen. So I appreciate it. It gives them an opportunity to, you know, get some accolades and stuff that they normally don't. So thank you very much.
Oh, definitely, Coach.